Someone ready to start?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the third meeting of Conceptual Design. So the PowerPoint presentation up on that room. Okay. On the agenda for this this particular meeting, we'll have your three presentations on what you've done since our last meeting after we came up with some general ideas of our design, and then we have to make some key decisions on our remote control concept and how we're going to make what material we're going to use and that sort of thing. The meeting will be 40 minutes long, and we will once again have Poppy as our first presenter.
Okay. Some research into the different components that we could use and what's available to us to actually make the remote control. First of all, we have to look at how the remote control is actually made and what if it happens inside the casing, which is more your field. The main internal feature is a circuit board, which contains all the electronics and also the contacts with the power source, which is not necessarily a battery, as we're about to see. There are several components of the circuit board that we need to consider, where we'll be getting them from, what they'll be made of, including the integrated circuit, which is also known as the chip, which is where all the main information is contained, diodes, transistors, resonators, resistors and capacitors all need to be considered as well, and all their positioning in the circuit.
Are they all included? Like mandatorily, or are these different options?
They're all different options. They're all separate, apart from the chip,
yeah.
Which we will probably decide whether we buy a simple or regular appliance. We can go into that later. All the other things are individual components that we'd have to get in separately and work out the most like effective circuit, including all the wires and things like that. And the LED, of course, that's a light emitting diode, so we could. So we've got like flexibility with colours and things with that as well. Okay, there are lots of different possibilities for the energy source. We could use a basic battery, but that brings it like the need to be recharged and the bulk, the size of it as well. And they're not so great to dispose of environmentally. There's the hand-powered dynamo, which is the sort of thing that was used for torches 50 years ago. A bit out of date. Kinetic energy is something that's been recently developed.
What is a hand-powered dynamo?
Where you manually charge up the power, like you
just
wind up
something. Just every once in a while?
Sorry?
Just every once in a while?
Yeah, every once in a while, I think. But
it'd be kind of strange to...
Yeah, like going a step back in time. I don't think it would really be with kind of cutting edge technology.
No.
Whereas kinetic energy is a new idea that's been used by some watches and other devices where you just shake the device and it gives it power. I mean, the kinetic energy is transformed into power to make the circuit work. Or the solar power, which we've been considering inside a building, which is where it's going to be used, might not be quite so useful. But good to look into, maybe you're going to, solar there. Lots of considerations in the case, like what sort of shape it would be, curved or flat, and that's got a lot to do with the ergonomics, like how it's comfortable and sits in the hand. You don't want something that's huge and you can't pick up, or too small, or too slimy. I know I've had a remote control before which you couldn't tell which was the front and the back, so it had so many buttons on, and the shape was so symmetrical that I'd be pressing like a volume button instead of the on button because you can't really see freaking out. We also can choose what materials. We could use metal, we could use rubber, which might be more ideal for the anti-RSI. It's like the same sort of rubber that's used in the stress balls and things like that. So very like soft, not so stressful on the hands. Wood. Again, stepping back in time, I don't think that's quite up to date with what we're looking for here. Titanium is not going to be possible, even though it's beyond our budget really, but would have been maybe for future projects. I think choice of buttons as well. We've got some good advances in technology with our research team. We've found some new multiple option scroll buttons. I think that was brought up before. They're basically quite a flexible design, modern. You don't have to use individual buttons. You can just slide up and down. I'm sure we're all quite familiar with those on mobiles or computer, laptop.
I'm wondering if scroll buttons, though, we would have to have an LCD
yeah, that's true.
Display
and that would
the
be to
glow-in-the-dark
advanced.
Dark thing.
Yeah, if we have, going on to that later, with the LCD, that means we need a really advanced chip.
Yeah.
And it's unlikely that that's going to be in our budget. Also, we've got the integrated push button, which is what we're most familiar with. It's most straightforward. But you can incorporate that with a scroll button as well. Decisions right there. And this is what I was just saying before, linked into the different, depends on what type of buttons we have in the inputs. Simple, we go in the push button. Regular, you could link with the scroll button, and the advanced would have to go with a LCD display. My personal preferences, I think we could go for the kinetic energy source. I think that's quite an advanced kind of technology. It's not been seen before, so it could be quite a novelty factor, attractive as well, and also energy saving, because you're producing the energy. You don't need an external battery supply or solar panels. You just give it a shake.
Yeah.
Sounds brilliant to me. Rubbing casing, I think, were probably the best if we're going for the anti-RSI and more choice with aesthetics. It could be pretty much any colour you want. And gives you more flexibility there. And probably the regular chip, as opposed to the simple, and we could possibly have the scroll and a push, but no LCD, because we probably can't afford that one.
Yeah. And the one interesting with the rubber casing is that it would be rubber encapsulating all of these chips and diodes and delicate technology as the exterior, which is the one thing that's protecting its innards.
I think that would there would be an sort of more internal casing, and the rubber would just be what's in contact with the human.
Yeah. Another thing is, it might be more difficult if it's a rubber exterior, and we were talking about putting on interchangeable plates.
Yeah.
I don't see how a rubber plate going on top of it would stay there. If it was sort of like a clip-on plastic plate, it would work that way.
Maybe if the if it was just kind of more of a rubber coating which was on to a case, so it was kind of the whole thing would be removable.
Like plastic with rubber kind of on top.
Yeah.
I can't think of what.
Well, there is a certain phone that has a rubber casing.
Yeah.
Like a Nokia.
Or
you can get
an outer casing for iPhone or something. It's just it's protective as well. It stops it. I mean, it will reduce the impact if it is dropped or something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't damage itself so easily.
Alright.
So maybe a mixture of both then.
Yeah. So the actual remote would be hard plastic
and then
casing.
Yeah.
And the buttons obviously are rubber.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I mean, is it possible to put designs onto this type of rubber?
As far as I know, it should be.
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah.
That's just one.
Yeah.
Alright, I like the kinetic energy source idea.
Yeah.
I don't know when people will be moving a remote around a lot, but I think that it's worth it. Kinetic energy source, it can make, and you can have any kind of style, it would be as heavy or bulky. Just for environmental reasons.
Yeah.
I guess it's a bit scary because it hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
It seems we'd have to do more research on it, or if you could have a battery pack.
Like as
backup.
A backup.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there is a one battery, because most remotes use two batteries,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So if it was running off of one battery.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah. It's an alternative just in case.
Maybe we could, you were saying about solar power maybe not working indoors, but a lot of calculators have solar power.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be
incorporated. Maybe that could be the backup instead of a battery.
Although it needs sunlight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To those calculators,
But
I don't
it's
know
not
how it
don't
works.
The solar all the time. It can be stored. It can be like you can have the solar energy and then you can store that energy and use it. It just needs to be in light for a certain amount of time per day, like a few hours a day.
I think that might be a little impractical.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just shoved under a cushion. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like people don't want to have to worry about that.
Yeah. I suppose it would be really annoying if you get think, oh no, I forgot to charge my robot. Like the kinetic thing, I think what's special about that is that it's instant energy. You don't have to, you know, you can shake it a few times or whatever, and
or just like
it works.
Pick it up when you're getting
So
suppose.
You don't have to like make sure it's in the right place to charge.
Thanks.
Oh. It's not on my screen, why?
I
don't know
why.
Oh, okay. Is it that one?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through the interface concept with you now. First of all, I'll explain what a user interface is. It's the aspects of a computer system which can be seen or otherwise perceived, for example, heard or felt, maybe, or by the human user. And it's also the commands that the user uses to control its operation and to input data. There are two types of user interfaces. There's the graphical user interface, which emphasizes the use of pictures for output and a pointing device, for example, a mouse for input control. So that's sort of like the scroll thing we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not really sure about the pictures. Maybe that's on an LCD screen, or maybe it's the buttons are pictures or something. Do you think
Because command interface requires you to type textual commands and input at a keyboard, so the numbers are sort of like a keyboard.
Yeah.
Pressing the numbers for.
So you must, for the graphical user, you must need some kind of presentation for the graphics, like an LCD screen.
I suppose on some buttons you would have, like the power would be some kind of symbol.
Yeah.
To go onto Teleflex, or I know we're not having that, but a similar thing. They have there's a little picture of a screen with lines across it, which I suppose is that sort of thing, like the symbol on the button. But if we're having a simplified display anyway, that we won't have to focus so much on that, maybe more on the numbers and volume.
It'd be more command interface.
Yeah.
So we need to think of symbols for like the volume.
Yeah.
Like
so it's just graphical for the pointing aspect? The infrared, is that considered?
No, I think it's to do with the actual symbols that are on the that's on the buttons of the remote control, and
okay, so when it says pointing device, that doesn't include.
Well, it could be a scroller thing, and something could come up on the screen.
Yeah, I think you're talking about LCD type things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to go with the command interface anyway to make it more simplistic. But we could incorporate some of the graphical user points, as in just to make it nicer to look at, maybe.
What do you mean?
Like, I can't think of an example, but sort of like little pictures rather than.
Oh yeah,
like a little sound instead of saying volume, like a little speaker or something.
Yeah,
you know,
as
something.
A button. So it's a keyboard in the shape of it.
Yeah,
right?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I like that.
We've decided that the command interface would be the most useful for a remote control, as it would be less complicated and the controls would be more user friendly. The remote control would be cheaper to design, so that we'd have more money in the budget to target the design area of the interface, you know, make it more trendy and original. We'll have more money if we keep it simple.
Yeah, I'm sure if like kinetic energy was probably dip into the budget.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seeing as it's quite a new technology. We also have to keep in mind when we're designing our more user-friendly remote control that a lot of interfaces consist of a clutter of buttons that their functions, colors, and forms aren't always helpful.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
See, like the buttons with all the different like colors for different choices. And,
yeah.
You know, can be a bit, yeah.
And that all interfaces are different, so that doesn't improve the use of the product. So we need to come up with something that's easy to understand and maybe learn from the mistakes of other interfaces that can be too complicated for people to use. Does anyone have any questions?
Do you think that we should keep all the buttons to one same color just to keep it, give it a simplistic look?
I think if we go with the design plate thing, we'll have to, just because of color clashing and if we wanted to. So, and we might, I mean, depending on what comes out of the design, we might have to stick to just black buttons.
But
what about the lighting up effect?
You mean different colors for the lighting, or?
I thought we had decided that we would, if we touched one of the buttons, they'd all light up. And so if they were black, it would be possible for them to light up.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, if they were white, they would glow, probably, if they were made of rubber.
Oh, so you're picturing the light as coming from the back. I kind of pictured it as kind of coming from the sides and lighting it up.
It's even like an internal light.
Okay.
Yeah.
It comes through. So there would have to be some parts maybe transparent around
right.
the buttons or something.
And well, rubber is a more translucent product too, so
it should be able to
get that taken care of.
Mm-hmm. In the phone that I was thinking of as well, when you change the covers of it, the little buttons that actually, you know, that control stuff are behind the rubber. So you can change the buttons when you're changing the faces. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just
the
wee control,
Okay.
thing that's behind it. So, I mean, we don't have to decide on one color. Each face could have its own color of buttons, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're raised up buttons.
Yeah.
So that you can feel them. We were talking about it being more, a lot more tangible. Might be more difficult to do.
Yeah.
If they're sticking up, if it's flat, then like on a cell phone or a mobile phone, it's like all very flat, and you just have to sort of press down all these tiny little buttons.
Yeah.
I think it would be possible. I don't think it would make that much difference in the dimensions. Of it, cause if it's just like constructed in the same way as like the front cover of a mobile phone, you can like take off the hard cover and then there's the like so the buttons and then you get to the circuit. I don't think it would matter that the buttons are bigger through the top casing. I'm sure you could work it out to fit in the casing without causing too much difficulty. Would that be fine?
All right. If it's doable, we can do it.
So that's everything then.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
I have a shorter report for you today. It took a while to get this.
You're not plugged in yet.
Oh, that's a very good point. Okay, so this report is about trend watching. Basically so we can live up to our purpose of having a very fashionable remote control. Sorry. Yeah. so just so you know, my method is mainly web-based research this time around. I also spoke with fashion experts in Milan, New York, and Paris. And I looked at the design reports from previous years here at Real Remote. Just so we can work off of them and see how fashions have changed. So I'll list the three most important aspects that I've come across, and they're each more important than the one that comes after. The first one is that there should be a fancy look and feel instead of the current functional look and feel. This should be a priority, as we've been saying. The second most important aspect is that the remote control should be technologically innovative. So I think we've done a lot of talking about that, just with lighting and the buttons and the faceplates. So it looks like we'll be able to keep on track of that. And the third most important aspect is that the remote control should be easy to use. So pretty basic there. The recent fashion update, according to fashion watchers in Paris and Milan, is that fruit and vegetables will be the most important theme for clothes, shoes, and furniture. Also, in contrast to last year, the feel of the material is expected to be spongy. Again, we've already discussed that with rubber versus hard plastic bags. So my personal preferences here, of course, we've already talked about the personal faceplates in this meeting, and I'd like to stick to that. The fruits and vegetable themes, I don't know if that's going to work for us. It sounds something that you'd use on kitchenware. I don't know if we want to do it in remotes. It could be one of the options, maybe for the television that people have in their kitchen. The temporary light-up idea sounds like we'll stick to that, and then tying in a trendy look with user-friendliness.
It's the fruits and vegetables is the only area that I find rather jarring. Everything else we can really do according to our plans already, given the market, but fruits and vegetables seems a very strange idea.
It's a little bit long, but it's everywhere. So maybe, I've seen a lot of purses with olives on them. But I think we stick to TV based, you know, maybe TV shows or.
Yeah.
But they still need to fit into people's decor, though.
I think we could possibly take a more abstract design, like look at the basic shapes of different fruits and vegetables, and then just really like strip it down to like really basic shapes. I mean, we don't have to make something in the shape of a strawberry, but it could have the curves of a strawberry. You know, really make it quite abstract if that fits in more with what we're doing instead of fruits and vegetables. If you look at it straightforward, it's a bit, it doesn't quite fit in with the trendy. Well, obviously,
it does if that's a good thing, but
maybe we could go more directly, I don't know.
Yeah.
But initially, I don't know, I think if we sort of tone it down a bit.
Not fruit.
Yeah. Banana. One thing I was thinking though, I don't know if you'll remember from our kickoff meeting, we talked about our favorite animals.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be animal based, you know, because a lot of people have a house cat or a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That might be getting, you know, too specific, and we should see what the success of the first face plates are, but it's something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any questions?
Mm-hmm. Right, given that information, we need to start making some more specific decisions. So I'll need to hook up the PowerPoint again.
Mm-hmm. guys been saving your PowerPoint presentations to it?
I didn't for the first one, but I have now.
It's still around, right?
Yeah.
Where do you have to save it to?
Project working.
Okay.
Okay. Just trying to make this pop up here. Alright, here we go. Okay, so we have to decide now exactly what we are going to do. So energy we owe. I know I can't write it in, but it's in the setting. So we know how to take it out of,
Just escape, I think.
Yeah, okay. So, batch decisions, energy, we've decided on kinetic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good.
Are we going to have a backup? Or do we just?
Would a backup really be necessary? I mean, will people just use the battery if there's no?
I think maybe we could just go for the kinetic energy and be bold and innovative and hope this works. And well, hopefully it works.
Yeah.
There's
like no reason why it wouldn't work, right?
So I think we should just like take advantage of like using this to its full potential.
Yeah. It could even be one of our selling points.
It could be that fully kinetic energy.
Yeah.
So if it's not working, they just have to shake it a bit and that will be regular.
Yeah.
Hope so.
Alright, the next decision is chip on print. I don't exactly know what that means.
It's whether we went for the simple, the regular, or the advanced chip, and that linked in with what buttons we were going to have. So.
Right, we were going for more simplistic style, right?
Yeah. That was without the LCD, so that means we're not doing the advance. So it depends on whether we wanted the scroll buttons or just the push buttons.
I think we decided on the push buttons, right?
Yeah.
So that's the
same
thing. Yeah. Would we need a more advanced one for the lighting, the interior lighting system?
Yeah, possibly. So it's probably going to be the regular chip that we're going to need. So it's a medium. So regular.
That's called medium or regular?
Regular, sorry.
Oh, is regular that simple?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's for the lighting.
Because of the lighting that we've decided to put in this option.
Okay, and cases. Is this dependent on shape or what it's made of?
I think this is just going to be a very outer case, which we will decide on rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess plastic and rubber.
Yeah.
And rubber.
Yeah.
Plastic
rubber coat.
With rubber. Interchangeable,
yeah, still going for that.
Yeah. Okay. User interface concept. This is your time to shine.
We decided on the component. I'm sorry, I've lost my PowerPoint thing, so I can't remember what it's called. It's the component.
Command interface.
The command line interface, yeah.
Is it command line?
Yeah.
Command interface. Alright, and supplements. What's that all about?
I think that is, well, we haven't really made any decisions about what we're going to do about the cluster of button functions, colors, and forms, and consistent use. Like, what are our ideas to combat these problems? You know how different interfaces are very different and can be confusing because of their difference and because of the different clusters of buttons that they have. We haven't really decided what to do about that.
What are our choices here?
Well, it's just where shall we locate the buttons? What kind of functions shall we have?
And like we'll have the numbers of the channels and we'll have
power,
channel changer and volume and power.
So pretty, just the basic.
Yeah. I don't know if we should go into like adjusting light levels, things like that, because different televisions will have.
Right. Yeah, tone contrast and things like
yeah.
that.
That was on one of my presentations about how often it was used. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
like
it was minimal. Well, it wasn't
yeah,
it was hardly ever used,
really. Should I bring it up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most televisions will come with a remote.
Yeah, and surely that would be like quite specific to
each television.
So.
Okay, well, we know we want number.
Screen settings was used 0.5 times an hour, so once every 2 hours. And it was considered a 1.5 relevance on a scale of 10. That's brightness, color, tone, all that.
You don't
I think most
that
of that comes
often,
like on the individual television set itself, isn't it? I'm sure it has its own settings, so you don't necessarily need to have it on remote.
Yeah, and
different
televisions, like I don't know if we can make a remote that will be universal to all the different kinds
of. So we're just going
like
for power, channels,
volume.
The other one was audio settings, mono, stereo, pitch. I mean, I sometimes use that. Some TVs will have the option of like living room style, movie style.
Yeah.
And that they said that's used 0.8 times an hour, which is actually somewhat high, like almost once an hour.
Yeah.
Relevance of 2.
Oh, we have 5 minutes to finish right now. Crap. Okay. Let's just pass.
Another chemical now.
Should we have audio? It'll make some money.
It would seem silly if we weren't having anything else, just have an audio button though. Do you know?
Yeah, it's a problem with the international appeal, I think, if we have audio, because we don't know how other televisions work. But we know that everyone has this and it's the same.
Yeah, I guess it affects the market. It is a good sales point to say, aren't you having more control than all these buttons?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That
we can just go
sense.
For make it a selling point that is just the
simple
basic.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And okay, in closing, so in 5 minutes, we'll be meeting again in 30 minutes. We'll be working on the look and feel design. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And user interface design, so this is where the kind of stuff comes in, and we'll be evaluating the product. Poppy and Tara will have to work together using modeling clay, and your personal coach will give you some information of what it said.
Okay.
All right, so anyone else have something to say?
I just have one question about the whole fruit and vegetable aspect.
Yeah.
Are we seeing as that was the most popular thing that came up out of your market research, I think we should keep to that rather than moving to animals or something, because even if that may not seem obvious to us, if that's what the surveys brought out, I think we should probably go along with that.
Yeah.
So I suppose that'll come out in our design and development, but happy to go ahead with the fruit.
Now, do you guys need one idea of how many
you
came up with
casing
ideas?
Yeah.
What I was thinking, what do you think of this? Having the numbers kind of like, not a bunch of grapes, but you know, like purple and kind of in a triangle, like grapes.
Yeah,
like that's kind of
birthday
or something.
Yeah, we can have an
idea.
Yeah.
I guess ideally, you'd kind of think of age markets as well. So something that will, appeal to 50 to 25 year olds, something that your granny would want, a herd of
an
international taste as well.
A lot of things to consider.
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay.
Let's do the fruit and veggie thing. Alright. And we'll be